Catholic faith influenced your public service?
And faith has had a huge influence on me, along with other things as well. My spiritual home is my Catholicism. And the choices that I've made on substantive matters that I've dealt with in the Congress, faith had a lot to do with those decisions. Coming from a Catholic social tradition or teachings about dealing with the common good, creating safety nets for those who are disadvantaged, those who suffer from various conditions through no fault of their own, seeking help and assistance. Beyond faith, it's your family, it's your experiences in life, it's your competency you bring to those choices. Some choices you don't have much decision-making the process. When I arrived in this...
I think we as a society are trying to find our way back into talking about how faith does inform things, rather than just dismissing it or saying, well, we really can't go there, or separation of church and state says we can't even talk about it. No, I mean, we're a faith-oriented country. Our motto is "In God We Trust," and so we should talk about things of faith and how it informs, and we'll get into the depths of that here. My faith is a very big part of what informs my decisions. Faith is a part of you. It's a part of who you are, and it helps inform your decision. It doesn't make all the decisions, but you can't segregate it out. It's a part of the values basis that you bring, and that's what it does for me as well. And I'm delighted to have it. It is a big part of the decision-making process, and I've tried in the past, Tim, to segregate out my faith from the policy work, politics, and I find I end up getting everything wrong. I get my faith wrong. I generally don't look at politics or policy quite right, and I'm not happy at the end of the day, and I don't like it in the morning when I wake up and look at myself in the mirror. So I think it's just, it's part of who I am, and it helps inform a lot of it.
What we're talking about here is the ability to take products that might otherwise be lost entirely. In the language that was written, we're talking about embryonic stem cells that would otherwise be discarded.
Is the embryo a person or is it property? It's one or the other. Everything in this room is either a person or it's property. You're a person with clothes or property, the lights are property, the table's property, is a person. What is the youngest of humans? Is it a person? Is it a piece of property? Now, if you say, all right, it's a person, well, then it's entitled to rights and human dignity. If it's property, it can be done with as its master chooses, whatever you want to. What we are doing in this is treating the youngest of humans as property. And we're saying you can do with it as you choose. You can research on it. You can discard it. But it's your property, and you can do with it as you choose. I carried the debate on the Senate side opposed to the expansion of human embryonic stem cell research and announced 2 weeks ago the 73rd human malady being treated with adult or cord blood stem cells. And that 73rd one, it was a big one, juvenile diabetes. Juvenile diabetes, one we've been hoping to get something for a long time. I want us to be a leader on finding these cures. I want it to be ethical cures that we do. I want it to be things when we look back on, we're not sorry we treated somebody else as a piece of property. And if we can raise the level of human dignity in this country and around the world, we'll all be better off for it.
Again, on the issue of homosexuality and the issue of civil unions, I ask myself the question of my two daughters may grow up with a different sexual orientation than their parents. And when they do, how do I want them treated? Job opportunities, housing, could they live in a safe place, be faced any the kind of hate crimes and so forth that we see victimized on people who have a different sexual orientation. I know there are those who believe this is strictly environmental. I don't necessarily subscribe to that. And they have loving relationships in many cases. And I think that ought to be welcomed when that occurs and not seen as some frightening prospect for everybody. So I, for one, support civil unions. I admire John Lynch in New Hampshire, who has made the decision to recognize that without a court order. Now, I have if you've got a loving relationship and that's where it is, that ought to get some protection. I don't go so far as to using the language here, because I'm not comfortable with it at all, the idea of marriage. But on civil unions, I believe they're appropriate. Regarding abortion.
I do think that the basic issue of church teaching on human dignity is very important on this topic. And I've mentioned it several times here tonight, but it strikes me as right at the core of these things is human dignity. Is the youngest of humans entitled to the dignity of personhood? And the church has been teaching and thinking about this a long time, and the church says, yes, you're entitled to human dignity. You're entitled to it from the very earliest stages. This is human life. That's how we all started, and it is entitled to protection. And it should be that way. And civil unions is another human dignity issue, if I might add. And this is a very difficult one, I find. Whoever you are and wherever you are and whatever you stand for, you have dignity as an individual. But here in the church teachings do separate the status of the individual from the act itself. And they say the status of the individual is entitled to dignity, and they are. The act itself is wrong. The act itself is immoral. I still don't think we as a society then should step up and honor that with the status of marriage, and I want to take that issue first, or the status of civil unions, and I want to say why on this. Separating again out the person who has dignity from the act, which is immoral. The last thing we need to do in America is drive down the number of families. We need more families in America. We need stronger families in America, not fewer. And that's why I do not believe this is the way for us to go on a very, very tough issue, Chris.
And I'm here today with Senator Sam Brownback, who's just finished up a discussion with Senator Chris Dodd of Connecticut on the role of Catholicism in public policy. Senator, one thing that really jumped out at me in your remarks was when you spoke of unity of life, how your faith cannot be segregated from the other parts of your life. And I was struck by the fact that your fellow Catholic, fellow U.S. Senator Chris Dodd, was asked a question specifically on how he applies his Catholic faith to questions of abortion and gay marriage, and he answered without making any reference to the Catholic faith. And I'm wondering, how do you deal with that as a new convert, as a public figure in Catholicism, with these other public figures in the Catholic faith that are very publicly holding themselves out in ways that are not consistent with the faith, that make no reference to the faith?
That's not for me to judge them. That's something for their own determination with their own soul. I do think it's important that one look at things from a holistic viewpoint. And I think the faith is a very clear one, particularly on issues of innocent human life and how we treat innocent human life. But Senator Dodd views things in his way. I'm not going to judge him for that, but I do think there is a very clear position here of protection of human innocent life, and we should do that.
The Church has said recently in some of its documents that there may be a legitimate diversity of opinion among Catholics on issues even including the death penalty in war, but not of abortion and euthanasia. Would you say that the bishops should take a stronger position in enforcing that document?
That's up to each bishop, and I'm not going to tell the Church what it should do. I use the Church teachings as thought and for input and as a wise person. I mean, here's a group that's been thinking about this for 2,000 years, and people that have given their whole life to it, in prayer and contemplation about it. Seems to me that that's something we ought to really listen to, and we ought to hear what they have to say, and that's why I've done it. And I think the teaching is also very clear and very consistent on it.
I know on the Eucharist, and people considering whether bishops should hold that from Catholic politicians or not. That's up to each bishop to determine on it. I would hope that Catholic politicians would really think about the faith and their own soul in doing these things. Not as much on the public policy, but their own soul.
Last question. At this point in the campaign, there is what they call the money primary, and whether or not candidates are being taken seriously by the media and other major players in our society has to do with how much money is being raised. And they're saying right now that you're not in the top tier of candidates like McCain and Romney in terms of the money that you can raise. What are your plans in the immediate future to turn that around and get yourself up into that top tier of Republican candidates?
Well, I'm the son of a farmer from Parker, Kansas, and this is America, and I still believe anybody can grow up to be president, and I think I can do that. This last weekend in Columbia, South Carolina, a key early primary state, I finished second in the straw poll. I think my ideas and the issues I stand for resonate very well with the base of the Republican Party and across the country, and this is a long race. I think we're going to do very well as the issues get formed and as people start focusing on where the candidates stand on the core issues, like life, like marriage, like the war. These are going to help form voters, and I think they're going to be attracted to my candidacy. I do think over time I'm going to wear well, and I'm the tortoise in the race. I don't like how that race starts. I love how it finishes.
Excellent. Thank you. Senator, thank you. That was Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas, Republican candidate for nomination for President of the United States, speaking here at Boston College in a forum on the role of Catholicism in public life, up against Connecticut's own U.S. Senator and fellow Catholic, Christopher Dodd. And I'm Peter Wolfgang for Air Maria. Thank you.